thank you for joining Hashtag No Limits. I'm your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not what we will be. And I believe that 100%. And I also believe that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves itself into cells and then reforms itself as a butterfly. And as if that wasn't enough transformation and struggle, it then has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough for it to fly and to be the beautiful creature that we often admire, or at least I do. And in my time as a special education teacher and now as an education consultant and master IEP coach, I have had the privilege of seeing hundreds of people go through a similar transformation from one way of life to a completely different way of life. And oftentimes, those people are not acknowledged. And I have the great privilege of being able to interview people who are busting through those limits, as well as my guest will be today, individuals who are helping them bust through those limits. So today, my guest is Jennifer Zink from the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation. Jen, thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on and to have you tell about what you do there and what the organization does. So thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So I have to say, I was quite shocked last week when I called, and this literally has transpired in a week, when I called the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation, and I got an actual person, and it wasn't, you know, just a whole series of automations. And then secondly, when you said, well, I'm available next Tuesday, is that open? I thought, oh gosh, you know, this is going to be months down the road before I have this opportunity. So I'm very, very excited. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us kind of what brought you to the Kurt Warner Foundation.
So I live in St. Louis. I'm from St. Louis originally. I started with the foundation as an intern the summer in between my junior and senior years of college, and then came on full-time when I graduated, and been with the foundation for about 18 years now. So the way that I got in was just such a God thing. Honestly, I was in Washington, D.C. doing an internship as part of a program through my university with a nonprofit organization out there. And Kurt and Brenda came out with the Children's Miracle Network, and we're part of a luncheon that was open to the general public to come and buy tickets and be a part. And they had student price tickets. And being from St. Louis, and I'm the youngest of five kids, I have three brothers. So between my dad and my brother, sports was always on in my house growing up. So big fan of the Rams, and knew somewhat about Kurt and Brenda and about what they stood for, but just wanted to see them in person and a little bit more behind the scenes off camera and see if it really seemed genuine. So went to the luncheon and so quickly saw how genuine it was. And in fact, at that luncheon, their son Zach was there, who I'm sure we'll talk more about. But just hearing them talk about him and how much he inspired them, and getting to meet him, I went up at the end of the luncheon and just said, I just want to thank you guys for what you stand for and what you've done for St. Louis. And so as we were chatting, Kurt said, well, what are you doing out here? And I told him I was interning with a nonprofit organization. And he said, well, are you coming back to St. Louis? I said, well, I will this summer. And they had just started their foundation not too long before that. I didn't even know they had a foundation. And so he said, well, would you want to come and intern with our foundation and call our office and see? Wow. So I thought, well, he's just being nice, but I'm going to try. So sure. I did call the office and hit it off with the woman who was running the foundation at the time. And so, like I said, interned that summer and then came on full time when I graduated. So just God putting me in the right place at the right time. But I knew I had a heart and a passion for the nonprofit world. I just didn't quite know what that would look like or where it would be. But that summer that I spent interning, I just fell in love with the programs and the variety of things that we do with First Things First. And so when they offered me the job full time, it was no brainer. Of course, I wanted to take that. So,
well, that's awesome. And as someone who grew up around the St. Louis area, my family were big baseball fans. And it truly wasn't until Kurt Warner started playing for the Rams and his whole backstory and, you know, his Christian beliefs that I truly just loved the Rams. And it was because of Kurt Warner and, you know, again, just what he embodied from what I could tell. I mean, I've never met him, so I don't have that knowledge, but people that I have met who have met them have said exactly what you just said. And that's just very heartwarming. And I have to admit that I was very disappointed when he moved to Arizona or they moved to Arizona. And I followed him for a little bit, but I guess it was the St. Louis part of me. I just couldn't quite, you know, get behind the Arizona Cardinals, as much as the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. So, but I've kind of followed him throughout the years, and yeah, he truly embodies the hashtag no limits himself. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that for anybody who may not know, and then also of course, what the foundation does and specifically the cheer program.
Okay. Yeah. So for Kurt's story in particular, like you were saying, there actually a movie is going to be released about his life story. It's called American Underdog. It'll be released on Christmas Day of 2021. And so it tells that story really well of how he sat on the bench for 4 years in college, didn't play football until his last year, and did really well, but wasn't drafted. Got called into the Green Bay Packers to see if he could make the team and got cut pretty quickly. And so then that's where he went to work in a grocery store, the graveyard shift. And during that whole time, he and Brenda were dating, and she had her two kids, Zach being the oldest and Jesse the younger. And so they were kind of both struggling financially. And so they were, as they say in the movie, they were struggling together. So, but eventually he went on to play in arena football in Iowa and did really well there. And then got the call from the Rams. Well, actually first the Bears, but ended up having a scorpion bite on his elbow that prevented him from going into that tryout with the Bears. Then got the call from the Rams and went over to NFL Europe and played there, did well there, and then ended up being with the Rams out on the bench basically his first year, but then his second year with the Rams went in to be the starter at the beginning of the season and went on to be the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl MVP of that season. So as a lot of people said, kind of came out of nowhere, but did have a really long story that most people didn't know at that point of defying the odds and where it looked like his dream wasn't going to come to pass. You know, God just had a different plan for him. And as he says, he wouldn't write it any other way now and could see what God was doing during that time in his story. So that is him. And then with their family, this particular program that you mentioned, the cheer program, every program that we do with First Things First somehow connects back to Kurt and Brenda's life experiences so that they can be and at least have had been in similar shoes as someone and say, I understand a little of what you're going through and I want to come alongside you and support you and help you. So for the cheer program, their oldest son, Zach, was in an accident when he was 4 months old and had a traumatic brain injury. And at the time, the doctors didn't know if he would survive. And if he did, they didn't know if he would ever walk or talk. And Zach has just defied all the odds along the way. And he's just the happiest guy you will ever be around. Just a light, always smiling, always laughing, always joking. Just nothing gets him down. So it's just impossible to be around Zach and not be happy. But so one day Brenda showed up at school for a meeting and it happened to be lunchtime and she walked through the cafeteria and she saw Zach and the other special education students sitting at a table kind of off to themselves. And all the rest of the students were having a great time and chatting and mingling. And, you know, they were just kind of off on their own. And she thought, Zach has so much to offer. You know, these other kids would just, they would love to be around him if they got to know him. So she said, we need to come up with a program that just opens up other students' eyes to the fact that people who might have special needs to have some kind of challenge different from what their challenges are, because we all have challenges, that they're not as different from you and me as you might think. And so we came up with the CHEER program, which stands for Consciousness Helps Encourage Equal Respect. So what it's typically done in high schools across the country, although we've had some middle schools and even some grade schools do it as well. But it's run by the students, and typically it's the Best Buddies chapter. I don't know if I'm sure you've talked with representatives from Best Buddies through your show, but it's typically those students that are running the program. So they encourage students in the school to adopt a disability for the day, and so they don't know what disability they're going to get, just like no one picks the disability that they have in their life. So things like a couple on my desk. We've got visual impairment goggles that they might wear for the day with a cane, or bees that they might wear to simulate hearing impairment. So there's five different disabilities. So over the course of the week, there can be up to 100 students, sometimes more. If I have enough materials, I can provide extras. We provide these kits to schools for free. So the students adopt the disability for the day. And then at the end of the week, there's an all-school assembly for the students to learn a little bit more about the program, even students who didn't participate by adopting the disability. So in that, we provide videos where the learners are able to talk about Zach's story and the fact that he was overlooked by his peers for a long time. But then as some of those peers got to know him, they got to see that they could become really great friends. And so the idea behind it is to show students that when they arrived at school that day, they were who they were. And even though they put on headphones or they put on goggles and they dealt with some of those challenges throughout the day, they were still that same person who had the same likes and dislikes throughout the whole day, for them to understand that that's how it is for other people too. And so a lot of times then, because it's run by Best Buddies, the idea is to try to get students involved in Best Buddies and get them paired up with a student at their school, or if their school doesn't have a special ed program, at a neighboring school, so that they can form some real friendships and really learn from each other after the week-long program ends.
That is absolutely incredible and amazing, because it is so true that when, and that's the purpose of this show, to be honest, is to expand people's horizons and their perspectives, that just because someone has some sort of difference than you, that doesn't, it shouldn't exclude them from being on the list of potential friends of yours, you know? And just because they're different is not a reason to ignore them or treat them negatively specifically. And I often think that a lot of that comes from that lack of understanding, right? Because especially teenagers, they're going through so many changes of themselves, and they're feeling, you know, so often out of place and uncomfortable in their own skin, to then see someone else who has some other differences. I just feel like they don't know what to do or what to say, because I think they have to say or do particular things. And it's exactly what you said. That's not the case.
Right.
So I do professional development for teachers, and I try to give them kind of a little snippet of what it might be like to be one of their students. But this program reaching, hundreds of students all across the country. What kind of changes do you ever have the school districts like get back in touch with you, you know, weeks or months later, and talk about the things that have happened since you were there?
Yeah, we've had quite a range, like I said, of ages and all across the country. think a lot will depend on those opportunities that the students have after the week-long program ends. So we found the most success with schools that, like I said, that have a Best Buddies program or something similar. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it's Civitan or other organizations that they have, even one that's unique to that particular school. But we have one school in California that it went so well, and they had a really passionate teacher who was the advisor for the students running the program. And he said that it just made so many changes within the school. There was less bullying, and he was really seeing those true friendships being forged after the program, that he said, we will do this every single year from here on out. And so we ended up granting them a kit of their own because we knew it was in good hands with them and they really would. Yeah. And so we said, we'll gift you one. But it was really awesome to see the excitement that their school had, like you said, because they were seeing those changes within the school. And I think even beyond disability, I think it just helped people, like you said, see that whatever the difference is, maybe it's cultural, maybe it's financial, whatever it is, you can still be friends and you can still find commonalities, and you guys might like the same music or the same, you know, after school activity, whatever it is, but that it just kind of created a way for students to start opening those doors and talking with each other and creating that dialogue. So it's been exciting to see. And like I said, even some of the young ones too, the just little changes that the young ones in elementary, the teachers talked about, didn't know what to do, if they could handle it, but I thought my students were mature enough to handle it. And then they come back and say, yeah, you know, just from their little minds, what they wrote down afterward, what they got out of it, we couldn't believe they were above and beyond a lot of adults that we talked to.
Oh my gosh.
This topic. So yeah, so that's been exciting to see. That's why we keep doing it. Knowing that I think it is impacting the schools that participate.
Yeah. So a couple questions, just a little bit more detail about the program. So when the kids go in, do the other students that are not participating know that, okay, because they have the headphones on today, or they have those glasses on, or they're walking with the cane or whatever it is, do they know ahead of time that that's going to happen? Or is it just, do they kind of explain, or is it just, here, wear this, go in and see what happens?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So we do provide a video of the Warners explaining, this is cheer week, this is what this means, you're going to see students in the halls or in your classrooms participating, and here's what it looks like to participate. So most schools, I think, nowadays have video announcements. So that's typically what we found. And we provide the full kit that we provide recommends having chair people, a student chairperson for each one of these roles. But there's one role that is a publicity role. So it's publicity to make sure the school people, the students at the school are aware that it's happening, making sure the teachers are aware too. Sometimes the teachers have some pushback about the program, and now I'm going to have to make accommodations. And so kind of helping so that nobody's taken off guard when the program starts. And then also getting students to sign up. So a lot of times we'll recommend, at least for the first day, for that Monday, to maybe handpick, ask teachers to handpick, or the advisor who's helping those students handpick leaders within the school, particularly leaders that are across the board for a lot of different groups that cover a wide range of students at a wide range of ages. So they can see those leaders participating, and then maybe have some open slots as the week goes on for other students to go, I think I'd like to participate in that. So we try to provide them with those tools of what each one of those roles look like, a recruitment person, somebody who's in charge of the adoptions and the equipment and making sure that's all run well, someone who's in charge of the assembly and recruiting which students are going to share about their experiences at the assembly, making sure they have the technology in place to run the videos that we're providing, and another student to think about, well, what would those next steps look like, and how can we make sure that we help students filter in who have been impacted by this to Best Buddies or whatever else that might look like. And then maybe even, this is dependent on the school, but to invite outside organizations to come in and share throughout the week at lunchtime or after school. We've had some schools that have done wheelchair basketball games where they have a wheelchair basketball team come in and play their school's basketball team, but all in wheelchairs, and right. create a big event around that. And you know, we provide the ideas and then we let them, because that's part of it too, is we want the students to take ownership in it. And it's a good opportunity for them to have developed their leadership skills and training as well. So just there's the one adult advisor, but then the rest of it is student ideas and student led.
And that's probably the best way to do it, because they know what's going to interest the people that are going to be participating and, you know, kind of in the trenches, probably more so than us adults would know. So,
right.
That's yeah, very smart.
Exactly. And then I'm just here, you know, I'll get phone calls along the way from students and or the advisor going, have you ever come across this? Or, you know, do you have any other schools that have had a best practice for how to handle that? And so I'll help along the way as much as I can. But like you said, they really do a good job of knowing what's going to actually impact their peers and what's going to get their attention. So we found that to be a successful way to do it. And obviously, I can't be in multiple places at once. So that allows us to get the kids out and have the program running simultaneously at various schools.
That's awesome. And so when you developed these, or well, I don't know, maybe did you develop the glasses and the headphones, or did you just those kinds of products were already out there and you just purchased them for your program?
Correct. Yeah. There are all the products were already available. We just purchased them. So like another one is simple of an arm sling. You know, if you injure your shoulder or your arm, but we just tell them to take their dominant arm and put it in the sling and pretend like for the day, don't use your hand or anything, you know, just you right. don't have that arm today. So they're pretty simplified. And another one is, to be nonverbal. And so obviously there's some amazing technology now for individuals who are nonverbal. It can take quite a bit of training. So we just give them a whiteboard and we do explain that particular one comes with a letter letting them know this is not obviously a way that someone who's nonverbal is going to communicate, but because it would take you a bit of time to learn the technology behind it, we're just trying to help you get the idea for the day that communicating verbally is not your option today, and just what challenges that would bring for people to really get to know you well and understand your likes and dislikes and who you are. And so some of them are simplified ways of doing it, but again, it's well, the idea yeah. for the day.
I mean, honestly, that is the way to start. So, you know, if it was somebody who recently had a traumatic brain injury or some sort of injury that caused them to be nonverbal, that's exactly where they would start. So, it's very low tech and very, low on the totem pole, so to speak, but you know, I mean, it is definitely a communication device. And so what, and I don't, maybe you don't have an answer to this, but what do you think the most popular disability that you have them get has been? What has given you the most feedback, do you think?
That's a good question. It's funny when I have been on site for some of the schools that have done it, it is funny to me how many students come in with the idea of, oh, I want that one. And I mean, but that is really different. I think it's interesting to want a specific one, right. What the thought process is behind that. And that's where, like I said, we kind of make that a learning tool right away. Like, oh no, you don't get to pick it.
Yeah.
you're just going to pull out of a hat and be assigned what you're assigned. Just like in real life, you know, people didn't get to pick, where their challenge might be. So,
right.
But in terms of the after effect of it, we have a video on our website that we filmed at a school here in St. Louis when they did the program. And it includes interviews from different students. And I think every one of those students had a different disability. And they talk about how it impacted them and what they got out of it. So I think it's I don't know that there'd be one that's like a standout. This one really makes an impact more so than another. So I think the whole idea is them just, like I said, I hope seeing that at the end of the day, they were still who they were. Just they had a challenge for the day that made things a little different for them, but that they were still them.
So yeah, that's incredible. So before I forget, I want to make sure that we let anybody who might be watching who's thinking, I want this in my high school or my middle school. How do they get a hold of you and kind of what's the process?
Yeah, so they want to call our office, which our number is 602-385-0840. And if somebody is listening and they're not able to write it down, something that might be easier to remember is just to go to our website, which is where our phone number is listed. But our website is kurtwarner.org. So that's pretty easy to remember if you're not able to write something down right now. But if they call us, they can tell me a little bit about their school and when they think they might want to try and do the program. I'll kind of talk through that with them a little bit of what their school's like and if they already have a Best Buddies chapter or some organization within the school where there would be a natural fit for a group of students who could run it and a natural fit for an advisor, because those are their two important components. And then I send an email with initial details of what the program's like, the initial video, the kind of what we call our how-to packet. So it says all the details, like I mentioned, about the different roles that the students can have and the step-by-step instructions and what that looks like for them to carry out the program. Because ultimately, you have to have the support and backing of the administration. So you need to have those resources to go to the administration and say, this is what we want to do. Will you approve it? So send that off to them. And then I wait to hear back if they got the approval. They have all those pieces in place of the students and the advisor. And then pick a date. So we have five kits. So we have the ability to have five schools doing the program simultaneously. So a lot of times March is a really popular time for schools to want to do it. That's the National R Word Campaign Month. So a lot of schools will kind of tie in what they're already doing around the R Word campaign with doing this program as well. So that tends to be one that can fill up. So sometimes I'll have to tell schools, I'm sorry, we don't have any more kits for the week that you're looking for. But other than that, we typically are able to provide kits for any other time of the school year that schools are looking for. And like I said, we ship the kit to the schools. It's completely free. And then when the program's over, I provide a shipping label to ship it back to us. So there wouldn't be any financial obligation on behalf of the school other than, sometimes some of the schools want to buy poster board and different things to advertise the program within the school. And that's up to them to determine what's best and if they have a budget for that. But you certainly can do the program without needing any funding if there's other ways that you can publicize within the school. So
I'm not familiar, honestly. You said, you've probably spoken to the Best Buddies people. I am not. And it's interesting that they are called Best Buddies, because when I was a teacher full time, I had a buddies program that I developed, and that was the name that the administrator and I came up with. And it sounds kind of like, along the idea of the premise of, we partnered people who were average to those who were not average in their ability levels. At first I would have a few kids. I did it. I think I was able to have the program for about 6 years at the one school where I did this. And every day for a half an hour, there would be a different set of the gen ed population that would come in and work with my students that were the most severe in the school. Now, I'm not saying that they were in that severe level, but the ones that my students came in and worked with, they usually had some abilities that kept them with me pretty much all day long. And so these kids would come in from the gen ed, and I had it was like 70 something different buddy activities, and it would be to help my students with their fine motor and their gross motor and their social skills and their speech skills. but they were having fun, you know, so they didn't know that they were working on all of those things. And the first few years that I did it, there was it was a volunteer situation and there was minor participation, you know, maybe 20% of the sixth, seventh and eighth graders. And that was the age that was in the school where I was. By my final year of doing it, I had about 95 to 98% of the students in those grades. And so it used to be when I first started it, the same kids would come in for a full week. But then because the participation got to be so high, it was okay. Well, these three or four kids, however many I needed, will come in today, and then new three or four come in the next day. And, you know, so the scheduling changed quite a bit, but it was such an awesome experience. And I had students that came out of that program saying, I now want to be an occupational therapist because I want to work in schools with kids like, you know, the ones that I buddied with here. They formed friendships. They're, 8 years later, one of the students that had gone through the program was at her high school prom. And another student from the gen ed side was like, hey, let's go to prom together. Let's go hang out and have fun. And they had gone to different high schools. And that was just one of the most heartwarming moments for me to see that it did change the whole climate of the school.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah, I'm so excited to hear. And that wasn't giving them experience of being, you know, somebody with a disability. So what you all are doing with the CHEER program is just very exciting to me. How long has the CHEER program been going on?
Actually, you telling that story made me think our very first school, not surprisingly, was Zach's, was the first ever since.
Sure.
After there, he got to go to the prom. Somebody asked him to go to the prom. He got to go to his first ever birthday party and was invited by a student to do that. So, like you said, it was after experiencing the program and developing some of those friendships that really opened a lot of doors for him and his peers in the special education program. So, but I'm trying to think, what year was that? It was... the Moores moved out to Arizona in 05. And I think it was just a year or two after they were out there. So Arizona was the first when he was in high school in Arizona. So it might've been 2006, 2007, something like that. But so it's been a long time. And initially it was just, Kurt and Brenda at a school in Arizona, whenever we could find time for them to do it. And their schedules, obviously it's difficult. But eventually we realized, I think this program could work without them being there. And that way we can have a much greater impact to have more schools doing it and doing it all across the country. We were getting more requests from Best Buddies chapters who heard about the Best Buddies chapters in Arizona doing it. And so we thought, well, Kurt Brenda can't travel everywhere. So anyway, that kind of made us realize we'll film them talking about Zach and talking about why they started this program and use the videos to tell the story without them being in person. And I think that has worked really well. And like I said, it's opened up the door for a whole lot more schools to do it. So as you mentioned, not knowing very much about Best Buddies then, they're headquartered in Florida. And so they have a lot of chapters in Florida, but they are nationwide. In fact, Missouri got its first chapter in the St. Louis area several years ago. But I don't know that they're in every single state, but they are in many states. So I would recommend, if anybody's not familiar, their website is just bestbuddies.org, but it's like you mentioned, it's all about pairing them up, having them do activities where it's a neurotypical student with a student with from the special education program, and putting them together to do monthly activities. They can do it on their own. Sometimes they organize big group activities for everyone to come together, encouraging eating lunch together. So just any ways that those friendships can be formed. So Zach ended up getting a buddy at his high school, and he it opened him up. His buddy was big into sports and Zach is not. And so sometimes they would do what Zach wanted to do. And then sometimes Zach would go and try his hand at tennis or, you know, whatever his buddy liked too. So it was a good opportunity for both of them to learn from each other and have fun doing it together. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And I mean, that's what you do as friends. You don't have all the exact same interests. So you support your friend and their interests and vice versa. And
right.
You know, maybe you try it, maybe you don't, but at least you're supporting them during the thing that they like to do. So
yeah,
that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. So I'm going to try to reach out to the Best Buddies organization and see about, you know, having someone from their organization on. And
I'm
going to throw your name at them. Yeah. Because again, I think, you know, the more exposure, the more experience that people have with those who are different from themselves, the more they're going to change that perspective. And I saw that the book arrived at the foundation. I don't know if it's actually made it to you or not, but that is another reason that I wrote the book is to try to have that exposure and to give, because I don't have that story. You know, my story is not like most of the chapters in my book. My story is the first chapter of the book, but the other 9 stories are very different. And having been a special ed teacher and having worked with several of my families for many years, I thought I had a good idea of what it was like to be in their shoes. And I started doing the interviews for the book and found out that I had very, very little real knowledge of what their lives were like and how different they were, but also how similar they were in so very many ways. So I hope when the book makes it to you, you get a chance to sit down and read it and that you enjoy it and pass it around the office. And
I have not been, we have a PO box and I have not been this week to check it. So as soon as I get there, yeah, well, I'm excited to read it. That'll be great. So thank you for sending it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I doing this show, doing that book, that this show kind of developed from that book because all of the stories are important to tell. And I can't write a million stories, but there truly are a million, more than 1 million stories out there. And so let's talk a little bit more about Zach, because that's kind of where we're at the moment. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little, obviously, only the things that he would be okay with you sharing. but you said a lot of the movie is kind of surrounding what he has overcome and done that people didn't think he would be able to do.
Right. Yeah. That was really important to Kurt and Brenda in the making of American Underdog, that it would be the underdog story of not just Kurt, but also paralleled with Zach and how much Zach has inspired them. Kurt in particular, he talks and Brenda, they both talk about how Kurt probably fell in love with the kids first. but Zach just, I think, yeah, it was that bond right away because Kurt saw what drive Zach had and how many odds he overcame. And like I said, just his attitude and perspective, regardless of the challenges that he deals with, he has, his gait is a little different. And so the way that he walks, can be more labored. But so he, especially when he was younger, was more apt to fall a lot. But you know, like Kurt always said, he didn't cry about it. He just got right back up, laughed it off, shook it off and just kept on going. There just wasn't anything that could bring him down. He just was always smiling and happy and just a joy and a light. And so they really wanted to bring that into the movie of how much inspiration Kurt took from Zach and wanting to overcome his odds and fulfill his dream too. So if anybody does go see the movie, I think they'll really be inspired too by Zach. And I should mention now Kurt and Brenda also have a separate 501c3 charity from First Things First called Treasure House and it is a residential facility for young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And they've built the first, and the goal and the hope is to build more treasure houses in other parts of the country. But the first is in Glendale, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix. And of course, Zach lives there, and he lives with 28 other residents where they each have their own apartment, but then they have common areas of a large kitchen and family room and rec space where they can come together as a community, but still have their own space and their own independence. But it's staffed 24/7, and it's all about getting the residents out into the community. They all have jobs, they all work, and then having the community come into them. And so it's, again, that same idea that CHEER was all about, is creating relationships and friendships and learning from each other. And so that's what they're trying to do with Treasure House. So it hit full capacity not too long ago. So they're really excited about that. And like I said, working towards hoping to build more treasure houses in other parts of the country.
That's awesome. And I thought that at one point there was a camp that Kurt Warner was involved in that had to
Camp Barnabas.
Okay.
Camp Barnabas was actually before Kurt and Brenda started First Things First, which they established in 2001. He had his amazing year that I mentioned where he was MVP that year and Super Bowl MVP. That was in the 1999 season. Mm-hmm. And so before they had First Things First, their charitable work was in conjunction with Camp Barnabas, which is where their kids went every summer. It's a week long camp. Kids from all across the country will go to, but it's in a small town in Missouri, not too far from Springfield, Missouri, beautiful grounds. And so they've got different weeks. Some of them are specific to a specific disability and some are a little more open, but it's not just for, the child who has a special need. It's, also for their siblings. So, the Warner kids went through it, like I said, with Zach. And then as they all got older, a lot of them ended up being counselors at the camp. So you're paired up with a counselor as well. And so, yeah, they just loved and adored their week at Camp Barnabas every year. Zach, so much so. So
yeah,
their kids are older now. And so they're not directly participating anymore like they used to. But I would highly recommend people check that camp out as well. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that was just another reason that I was so fond of Kurt Warner and his story, and Brenda too, because being a special education major at that time, I wasn't completely finished with my degree, but you know, that was just one more little, you know, oh gosh, you know, here's this guy, and you know, he's this very famous person at the time, and you know, he's very, from all appearances, humble and kind and generous and cares, and so yeah, and I had looked on the website before coming on with you today. And I was like, I thought there was a camp. So I'm really glad that I hadn't dreamt that or made it up, and that you were able to help me with that.
It's not their camp, but it is a great camp. And they were certainly affiliated with it for a long time.
Yeah. So we have about 15-ish minutes before, like I said, I never try to go over more than an hour. There's so many other things that the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation does. But before we get into those other things, I just want to make sure that we have covered all of the things that, they all, I think, are really part of the hashtag No Limits idea because of all the things that they're doing. But specifically talking about special education, special needs, you know, disabilities and that sort of thing. Have we covered everything, or is there more that we haven't covered yet?
Oh, I think you've done a good job of covering, you know, I think you mentioned when you called and asked if I'd want to do this, our hashtag that we use for our CHEER program is hashtag equal respect, which comes from the last part of CHEER. They're like you said, there's a lot of commonalities between what you're doing and what we're doing through CHEER. And I think you've covered it well.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the other things, because as I said, there are, you know, typically when I think hashtag no limits, I do tend to think more of the special education type things, but they're doing a lot of other things to help a lot of people. So tell us some of the other things that happened through the Court Warner First Things First Foundation.
Well, we have one program called Homes for the Holidays, which just finished a couple weeks ago, surprising a family in Arizona with that. It's a partnership with Habitat for Humanity. We do it in both the Phoenix area as well as St. Louis. We have corporate sponsors that help us with it. So Aaron's is our furniture sponsor. U-Haul partners with us as well. Brooklyn Bedding in Arizona, and then Sprouts in Arizona. But so we are surprising a single parent on the closing day of their Habitat home by completely furnishing the inside of it for them. So our goal is that they would just need to bring their clothes and their pictures and whatever their personal items are, but that we've hopefully thought through everything else for them. So what we were hearing from Habitat is that a lot of the families, you have to be in a certain income bracket, of course, to be able to qualify for Habitat. And they work really hard to purchase that home, to get their credit where it needs to be, to put the down payment down, and to work. They have to work hundreds of hours of sweat equity to get their home. But then a lot of them didn't have the funding then to buy furniture. And so they would move in and they'd sleep on the floor and they'd sit in lawn chairs and have to little by little save. And so this is a way for us to come alongside and congratulate them for their amazing achievement of purchasing their first home, and then give them what Habitat always calls a hand up to say, we'll take care of this part for you. So now you can use your funding towards education or whatever other needs your families have. So that's one program. And then another one, which sort of there are some definite overlaps with what we've already been talking about, our We're Going to Disney World program, where we take Make-A-Wish and Dream Factory families for a week-long vacation down to Disney World. The whole Warner family goes. We spend a whole week together. We do perks just such a fun week. It's one of the Warner family favorite weeks because we really get to know those families well. And like you were talking about earlier, understanding more, because some of those families, it's a wide range of medical issues that have families qualify for Make-A-Wish or Dream Factory. So some of those families, it's been a long road and it will continue to be a long road of having some challenges, and being able to spend that week and so much time together can open up our eyes where we've done it enough. You might think, you know, like you were saying, what a family is dealing with and what the challenges are. But as you really get to walk alongside them and be there for the day in and day out for just that 1 week and have those deep conversations, you realize none of us ever have a clue until you're actually in somebody's shoes of what they're dealing with. But those families really create some amazing bonds with each other. I'm always so amazed that so many of the years God will bring us, we don't pick the families. We just tell Make-A-Wish and Dream Factory, this is when we're going. If you have any families that have wished to go to Disney World that would want to go with us, extend the invite. This is how many spots we have to fill. And then families are kind of given to me by the chapters that I reach out to. And so as the families start to come in and I start seeing the information, it almost never fails. Every year we'll have kids who have a really rare disease that we've never, a lot of times, never even had before. And then all of a sudden, as more families come in, we'll have two families or three families that have a child with that issue.
Oh, wow.
Where God just brings them together. And when they're on the trip, it is such a bonding thing that they can talk through in ways that some of them have never been around another family who has dealt with this before. And so it's, for me, it sounds like they're speaking Chinese sometimes. And they'll talk about it. How did your child go through this such and such surgery that, you know, it's a big word I've never heard of. It's incredible to see how those bonds are created in that week, not just with the Warner family, but with the families together. And so we, previous to COVID, we were having reunions every year. So we'd alternate between 1 year, the reunion would be in Phoenix and the next year would be in St. Louis. And we'd go back and forth because we have families that come from the Midwest, primarily St. Louis area, and then Iowa, where Kurt and Brenda are from. And then we have families that come from Arizona. So that kind of gives us an opportunity for families to not have to travel too far for the reunions. But it's really fun to see them be able to come back together and reconnect. And so that program is very meaningful to us as we really see the impact that it has. But then just a couple of the other programs we do, we've always tried to do something for military, some way to give back and thank them. Brenda was a former Marine before she met Kurt. And so currently the program is providing Monday night football tickets for military veterans in partnership with VetTix. So Kurt does the Westwood One radio national broadcast for Monday night football. So we have tickets for that and provide those to the military. We have a scholarship program for middle school, high school, and college age groups doing service-based mission trips in the United States for spring break or summer. So we'll provide groups with scholarships to help them offset their costs. We have a foster home in Arizona that we've been surprising or partnering with for Christmas since the Warners moved to Arizona back in 2005. So they've got about 75 foster kids that live on site. They have a lot of space and they have individual homes. Each home can have up to 10 foster kids and then a set of house parents. So they on campus typically have about 75 kids. So the Warners see them every year for Christmas and we provide gifts to the kids. So this year the kids are going to get to see an advanced screening of American Underdog. So that'll be coming up soon. So that'll be the Christmas gathering for this year. But yeah, so as you can see, our programs are really varied, but all of it, like I said before, is based on the Warners' life experiences and wanting to be able to say, hey, I've been in similar shoes. I understand a little bit of what you're going through and I want to, you know, come alongside you and support you. So,
right. And one you didn't mention that just happened is Warner's winter warm up. There's too many W's in there for me to say it correctly. A friend of mine that I have become friends with and was I got to know because of my hashtag No Limits show, Jamie Van, the Spirit of Discovery Park founder. I know that they were a part of that. And I'm very jealous of her because she's gotten to see a screening of the movie already. And it is one that I have told my family, this is what I want on Christmas Day. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. And so, yeah, hopefully I usually don't have anything on my Christmas wish list. So
well, I hope they come through for you and tell them to make sure that they buy their tickets early, because that's actually always been a family tradition in my family, because Christmas Eve was bigger for us. And we would see aunts, uncles, cousins, the whole bit on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning was just my immediate family and we'd open presents. But by that night with five kids, I think my parents were looking for something to keep us occupied. So we'd always go to the movies. Well, that's a tradition for a lot of people. So we have found over the years that you have to buy your tickets early. Otherwise, so many of the shows are sold out. So make sure you put that little bug in there. Don't wait till Christmas Day and think you can show up at the movie theater and get tickets.
Right. So. And I also saw that right now, if you purchase your ticket, that, and I don't remember that there was some promo code that you could put in to possibly see an advanced screening. I think the 17th or 18th. I don't remember what it is, but I thought I saw that on the website earlier when I was on there before coming on today.
Oh, good. I do know they're doing, I didn't know that there was a promo code involved, but I know that they are in some places doing advanced screenings, like you said, that weekend of the 17th and 18th. So you know more than me on that. I didn't know there was a code.
Well, yeah. And I don't remember if I saw it on the Kurt Warner Facebook page or if I saw it on, I do have the website pulled up, so I'll share that really quickly. I don't remember if I saw it here or I'm thinking that as I'm scrolling through here that it must have been on the Kurt Warner Facebook page that
does all that. It must have been, because I actually control our website. So I'm pretty sure it's not on that one. That content was created by me, and I would remember if I created a...
Okay. And then it probably was on the Kurt Warner Facebook page, which I tagged for this episode. I don't know if he'll see it or anything, but in case he does, hey, Kurt, nice to meet you. And Brenda, nice to meet you too. And that's another reason I think that, again, I felt so like connected to them is because my husband is former military. And so with Brenda's military experience, you know, that was, like I said, just one more little commonality between us and them. And I mean, they're just, and the whole, which we really didn't discuss much in today's talk, but their belief in God and, you know, where the name First Things First came from. Do you want to share that?
Sure. So after the Super Bowl win, when Kurt was standing on the podium and Mike Tirico was interviewing him and said, well, first things first, tell me about that pass to Isaac Bruce, because that was the winning touchdown. And Kurt just took the opportunity to say, well, first things first, I need to give glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus. And so as he knew, even before he made it, I think even as a kid, there were so many people that poured into his life and supported him. He knew that in his dream of becoming a professional athlete, that he wanted to have a foundation. And so when he finally did get to that place, he took a little time. That's why he made it to that Super Bowl platform from the 1999 season, and they didn't actually start the foundation until 2001, because he wanted to take some time, pray about it, research what other guys around the league were doing, see what felt like the best fit for he and Brenda to try and give back. And I think that moment on the platform solidified for him, well, that will be the name of the foundation. And his life verse is Matthew 6:33. Which really encompasses first things first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So that's just a perfect tie-in to the name. So that's where it came from.
Yeah. Well, it is time to wrap up, because as I said, I try not to go longer than an hour. So I cannot thank you enough, Jen, for being with me today and for sharing all of the wonderful things that the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation is doing, but specifically the cheer program. That is so near and dear to my heart, and something that I hope to be able to become involved in somehow, even if it's, you know, just promoting it through this program. But I will certainly be reaching out to the high schools in my area and making sure that they are aware of it, because I wished I would have known about it after my students, you know, that had gone through the gen ed population through my buddy program. That would have been a great, you know, okay, now you're at the high school and they're doing, you know, they're doing this. But yeah, the high schools around me, I mean, I'm in a rural area in Illinois, but they do a good job of doing a lot of things for all of the students. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if there's anything, I'm just a small fish in the pond, but I, that is just such an amazing program. I'm just so excited about it. And I hope it continues and, you know, just changes so many lives and so many viewpoints, and really impresses upon kids, especially, you know, that everybody is a person first, and then whatever differences and whatever similarities you have, you know, you can deal with those. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
For the audience, remember to give this a thumbs up, give it a like, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Let me know if you're watching it with the hashtag replay, or if you were joining us today, hashtag live. Next week, I think I'm having someone from one of the bakeries in the St. Louis area that supports the mental health world, as well as those with intellectual disabilities, and employs them. So it's not set in stone yet. So I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to say it and then not be right. But thank you, Jen. Merry Christmas.
And same to you.
God's blessings to all of you at the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation.
Thank you.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.